It's a little purport, only three lines. I don't know how I'm going to give a class on this, but I'm no pundit. I'm no big, big philosopher, so you have to bear with me and give me your blessings. The Lord is eternally enjoying transcendental bliss by his internal potency, whereas the external potency is suspended during the time of dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. Om Jnanatmirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militanjena Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Daratis Padantikam Mandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamstra Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahakana Raghunatam Vitam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Ari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavinibhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namah. I just wanted to say that it's not etiquette for me to sit here and give class. Honestly, we've got two very exalted personalities. We've got Mother Guru, it's actually Prabhupada's disciple, Astasaki, and also other, you know, very elevated personalities. So I seek the blessings and hope to say something worthwhile today. I'm not a very big scholar. I'm just speaking from my head, whatever is there. So please forgive me. We had some really beautiful speaker, Kartik Chandra. I don't know how the words come, but Prabhupada did say, if someone speaks so eloquently, speaks so nicely about Krishna, and you want to sit and listen all day in rapt attention, then Krishna is actually speaking through them. They empowered souls. So when I listened to Kartik Chandra's class on Friday, I thought, this is way beyond, you know. So much memory, memorizing all the names, the times, the places. And also on Sunday, Govinda gave a beautiful class too. So just forgive me, Hare Krishna. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk, because I missed a lot of things away for so long, I'm going to talk because this chapter here is talking about the creation, but at the same time about Guru Parampara, disciplic succession, how we should hear, absorb, and internalize our activities. How, like here, Krishna, Garbhodaksha Vishnu, is enjoying, is in bliss, complete bliss, just by going into his internal activities. So we have to think about it. I'm just going to speak a little bit about Maitreya. So just like now I'm saying, you know, I have audience in the audience some really highly elevated, exalted devotees. And Uddhava, he didn't want to answer Maitreya's question when he was asked a few questions. So he said, better you go to Maitreya. Maitreya can give you all the answers to your questions. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Maitreya and Vidura, and then carry on like that a little bit from the previous text, and then come to today's... Where did I leave? So now I just went to like a little bit in text one. The Maitreya is continuing to speak to Vidura. So in that, in the first text, it explains how Maitreya is so, He's feeling great bliss inside. He's feeling pleasure. So much pleasure talking to Vidura, answering Vidura's question. Because Vidura is actually a very what word should I use? Is so absorbed in what Maitreya, very receptive listener. If I'm speaking to somebody and they're looking all over the place and they're looking at the phone, I won't feel very happy speaking. And likewise, the speaker won't feel happy and the listener won't feel happy. There's no connection, there's no reciprocation there. So because Vidura was so respectful and so receptive to the answers of Maitreya, and Maitreya saw him as his own son and was very happy to impart knowledge. And also, Vidura wasn't from an ordinary background. We know that Vidura, in his previous birth, he was Indra, right? And he came from a royal dynasty, actually, from the Puru dynasty. And because of that, he was glorious, because that lineage, they were glorious because they were worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They didn't have any attachment for the impersonal Brahman or the localized Paramatma. They worshipped Bhagavan. And this is also the teaching of our Srila Prabhupada. He always says to us how God is a person. He has a name, he has form, he has qualities, he has pastimes. So this is how he mentioned to us that it's dangerous to speak to Mayavadis or impersonalists. So Maitreya here is imparting this Vidura, this knowledge. And this Bhagavad Purana is also known to him by his preacher master, Parashara Muni. So we can see how this disciplic succession is a descending knowledge, not ascending. So, and it's coming in a perfect line, and the recipient is listening, absorbing, and then they pass the message, like how Srila Prabhupada listened from his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, Gaur Kishore Das, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as we can see, our great parampara here, how the line is being continued. And as I was mentioning about Kartik Chandra on Friday, he gave all the names, he gave all the details, the times, the place, he went into so much depth about the lineage that I'm going to skip all that. I've got no brain for that. So it was spoken to the great sages who then passed it down to enlighten those, to benefit those who are entangled in extreme miseries for the sake of little pleasure. So I just want to read a little bit, because our movement, our philosophy, our education, knowledge is all repetition of what we heard. Over and over and over again, Prabhupada used to say, I'm a spirit soul, I'm not this body. You're a spirit soul, you're not this body. Over and over. So repetition is a good thing, because in the material world, we have so many things to think of. And in order to digest something, it has to be spoken over and over again. So here, I just wanted to read text 2, the miseries that we suffer in this material world. Here it says that the sage Vidura proposed to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam because it was especially compiled and traditionally come down in the disciplic succession for the solution of all problems of human society. Only one who is fortunate can have the opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam in the Association of Pure Devotee of the Lord. So sometimes we take it for granted because we may come to the temple every day. We go home, we associate with the devotees all the time. We're taking prasadam. And the core message just slips our mind. We forget that Yeats explains how important, how fortunate we are to be here in the Association of Devotees, because this is the highest. And as living entities, we experience internal pleasure and we experience external pleasure. The only reason we situated like this in this material world because of our ignorance. We failed to see that the Supreme Lord is the controller, the doer, the maintainer, the creator, the everything. He's everything. We forgot that we were servants serving the Supreme Lord. Hence, we landed ourselves covered by this material energy. But we can also enjoy this internal pleasure like the Supreme Lord. We just need to move our vision to the spiritual activities of Krishna. And we don't have any excuses. Everything is there. We don't even have to do anything. We don't have to write poems. We don't have to write songs. We don't have to write books. Vedic scriptures, it's all there on a plate for us. All we need to do is help ourselves to this knowledge. And that's the internal pleasure we give. And we'll talk a little more later about how Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is lying on this bed, Anantishesh, and how he's experiencing eternal bliss, just lying there with his eyes off closed. So I'll read a little more here. Under the spell of material energy, the living entities are entrapped in the bondage of many difficulties simply for the sake of a little bit of material happiness. They engage in fruitive activities, not knowing the implications, under the false impression that the body is the self. The living entities foolishly relate to so many false attachments. They think that they can engage with materialistic paraphernalia forever. This gross misconception of life is so strong that a person suffers continually, life after life, under the external energy of the Lord. If one comes in contact with the book Bhagavata, as well as with the devotee Bhagavata, who knows what the Bhagavatam is, then such a fortunate man gets out of the material entanglement. Therefore, Sri Maitreya Muni, out of compassion for the suffering men in the world, proposed to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam first and last. So that is beautiful. Just a reminder for our suffering, because we're always looking for happiness in this material world. Even as devotees, we're looking for that happiness, although internally we experience some bliss. Still, we want to go on a holiday, we want to do this, we're still searching for that happiness. But at least we know that Krishna is in the heart as the super soul. And if we pray sincerely and worship him, then he will give us direction. And in due course of time, we would somehow go back home, back to Godhead. So we'll just continue. In order to establish ourselves for wanting to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, we have to have faith. The stories that we're reading here is not imaginary. They're real stories. They're real stories. How do we know that they're real stories? Can anyone say? How do we know they're real stories? Someone may argue, one time my brother-in-law, he was reading my husband's brother. he read Krishna book. Somehow he just picked it up and he read Krishna book. And he chose the story of Putana. I don't know why he chose that story, but that's the story he read. He's not a devotee. He's almost like an atheist because he doesn't go to church. But he read the story and he said to us, he said, "I think you guys are in cuckoo land." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Do you believe that a woman can be 8 miles at home? Was she 8 miles long, Putana? When she fell, all the trees were falling one on top of the other. She was like 14 miles long." So he said, "How is it possible you can believe such a thing?" So here, it's very important for devotees. I know the subjects that matters are sometimes so esoteric and elevated. Even for devotees, it's very difficult to digest. So somehow we have to pray for the mercy, pray to Krishna for the mercy, that we can understand at least a little bit. We have to develop faith and conviction that the authorities of the Supreme Lord and his associates are not imaginary, but they're personal. And these things, these stories took place millions of years ago. And Prabhupada says, actually, from time immemorial. It's not much, more than millions of years. Therefore, this knowledge is called Sanatana Dharma. It's an eternal religion. There's no time. These are real stories. So how do we know that these are real stories? Then in chapter 5 of this same verse, the great sages, through their mystic powers, were able to float down. This we have to believe as well. That with their mystic flowers, they are able to float down to the lower regions from Satyaloka to the celestial, through the celestial river Ganges. Their heads were wet. How would their heads be wet, if they're not persons? Their heads were wet means that they were moistened by the sacred water coming from the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. Anyone taking a bath in the Ganges as all his sins eradicated. But if one continues to sin, irrespective of taking a bath, then one is considered like an elephant. Elephant, the example is given there of an elephant. It goes in, takes a nice bath, comes out and lands, sprays sand all over. So it's not like, once we take a bath in the Ganges with pure souls, we cannot commit sins again. So we have to be careful about that. And so in order to purify ourselves and get rid, Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Chalai, to purify ourselves and make advancement in our own Krishna consciousness, the word Uttama Shloka is word. Uttama Shloka. Uttama Shloka means that the Supreme Lord is worshipped with selected words by devotees. So as I was saying before, we don't have to write poems, write songs, do all these things. Everything is there. We chant the first prayer we chant in the morning, that's there already given to us by. This is our courtroom acharya. Vishwanath Chakravarti, yeah, that's the first. We didn't compose the song, Vishwanath Chakravarti composed, and we sing that song every day in the morning, Mangalarti first, invoking the mercy and potency of the spiritual master to give us, some insight about how to go about making advancement in our own lives. So we also chant various other prayers and beg for the mercy, glorify the Lord with love and devotion. So this parampara system, this disciplic succession is so very important. We've got so many, I didn't write anything about Narottam Das Thakur, today is his appearance day, right? Naruto, Lokana, Lochan. Oh, Lochan. I didn't write anything about him. But they left so many, even Narottam Das Thakur as well, so many beautiful songs, you know, imploring the association of exalted devotees and glorifying the Lord. Srila Prabhupada explains in text 7 that unless one hears from proper authority, one cannot become a preacher. We have to hear, absorb, understand, and then we'll be able to give the message to others. And the process of devotional service, this hearing and chanting, is the most important. Without this, one cannot preach the message of Vedic knowledge. And on Sunday, Govinda gave a class, and there was a question, actually. There was a question by Keshava Maharaj. He was asking why Smaranam is not met, you know, is not given so much emphasis from the 9 processes of devotional service. There are a lot of beautiful answers, but for me, like, Smaranam is connected to hearing and chanting. If you hear and chant, obviously you're going to remember. The verse 1865, explain, is it 65, 66? Manmana Baba Mad Bhakto. Always remember, always worship me, offer your homage to me. You know, Krishna says very clear, Manmana Baba Mad Bhakto Majyaji Mam Namaskaro. Mamma Ivasyasi Satyam Te Prajjani Priyosami. That if you offer, see how my memory is. Always think of me, offer your homage, offer your respects. Thus you would come to me without fail because you are my very dear friend. Priyosami means very dear friend. Krishna in the whole of the Bhagavad Gita is promising us so many things. He's promising us. Sarvadam and Parijaja Mame Kam Saranam Raja Aham Twam Sarva Papibyo Mukshe Sami Masija. Srila Prabhupada mentioned these 2 verses also in his lecture yesterday. And if we can really take these verses seriously, we're on the way, you know, on the way back home, back to Godhead. Prabhupada said, what 4 things you have to do? Association with devotees, taking prasadam, this hearing and chanting. Is that right? How we can, you know, stick to the path and go back home. So we have to be... yeah, so the answers were beautiful. It's hard to disconnect remembering from hearing and chanting. So all those stories in Krishna book, all this is what... Garbhodaksha vision in the causal ocean. He's blissful. He's enjoying great pleasure from his internal potency. He doesn't have to look outside because everything else is held in suspension. In this word, Maitreya contest to speak, how the 3 worlds, Satyaloka, the middle, lower planets, they're all submerged in water. They were invisible. You couldn't see them. And the only planet that was there, the only universe that was there, where it says Eka, alone in this one universe, was the Lord. Garbhodaksha Vishnu was lying on Anantashayas enjoying. And actually, he didn't have his eyes completely closed. His eyes was half open. He can observe outside and he can enjoy from inside. So, but this was the, he was the only one with Anantashesh at this time, which means he was completely conscious of what was going on externally and internally. But yet it explains how he's enjoying transcendental bliss by his internal potency. Garbhodaksha Vishnu is not feeling bored. Sometimes we feel bored in our services, actually. When we put in the kitchen, we want to be in the garden, or we want to do pujari service, oh, everyone wants to do pujari service. Or, you know, most people, they want to take Ramen, they want to dress the deities, serve the deities. And sometimes cleaning is like an austerity for devotees, you know. So, but like this, but the Supreme Lord was on a level of transcendence, free of all contamination. The Lord is experiencing pleasure from within, internally. And these are all examples for us to gradually rise to that platform of transcendence through the nine processes of devotional service, of which hearing and chanting is the first and foremost for purifying the heart of all impurities. I always try to remember the first of the Shikshastakam, the first verse, Cheto Darpanam Marjanam, Bhava Mahadevagni Nirvapanam, Shriya Kairava Chandrika Vidaranam, Vidyavadu Jivanam. So this chanting is so vitally important. It extinguishes the fire of the blazing fire of material existence. Powerful. We don't. Sometimes we underestimate the power of the holy name. Actually, the more we chant, the more we'll want to chant. Sometimes we chant a few rounds, we put our bead down, chant a few rounds. But just try to focus the mind and chant really seriously. I don't know, when you chant, the more you chant, the more you feel like you want to chant. So try it. I think Prabhupada, he challenged somebody about chanting rounds, you know, to do it. I can't remember what that was. Of course, we don't want to be too boring. We also enjoy internal bliss when we're doing the right things, because we experience like taking prasadam with devotees, associating with devotees, hearing and chanting, sometimes kirtan melas, kirtan ras. You know, we're having New Year's Eve celebration, they'll be chanting from midnight. If you sit there and absorb yourself, you can feel internal bliss. It's beautiful because your mind is focused and absorbed in the holy name, and it's beautiful. So it's not all boring if our focus is in the right place. And especially when we're chanting in the presence of exalted personalities, then we can, the soul, we within ourselves can feel great bliss. One has to go deep within oneself. We have to learn how to go deep. Gaur Govinda Swami, when he was giving class one, he said, if you have to dig deep. If you go to the shallow surface, you'll only catch fish. It's funny. So we have to go deep within ourselves to, you know, experience something. So the core element of Srimad Bhagavatam is that God is a person. We have to understand that Krishna, God, is a person. He has he has name, fame, qualities, pastimes. His pastime is all there for us to read, for us to hear, in order to purify our existence and try and not take birth again in this material world. Okay, in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.3.34, Srila Prabhupada gives full explanation of external potency. He says that which manifests this material world, the external potency, and the internal potency manifests the spiritual world, which the Supreme Lord himself is enjoying while lying on Ananta. Internal potency, the marginal potency, is the living entities who are a mixture of internal and external only because of their contact with material energy. So somehow we have to focus our mind. It's very difficult, but if we focus our mind on what Srila Prabhupada has given us, chant 16 rounds, take prasadam, associate with the devotees, and read and chant, then somehow or other we can minimize our materialistic activities. In due course of time, achieve the goal. I'll stop here. If anyone wants to add anything or ask a question, Asta Saki Prabhu.
Very nice class.
Oh, thank you. You're very kind.
You were speaking about earlier on about repetition.
Yep.
And I just wanted to make a comment about that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for new devotees, even for older devotees.
Mm-hmm.
We read the same books all the time. Mm-hmm. We read the same verses all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason that all that we read and all that we hear, there is a saying that is very important, and that is that everything is ever fresh. So, in some of our books, Krishna Das Kaviraj has put a covering over it. And why has he put a covering over the book? He has put a covering over it because as we become more sincere, develop more faith, like she said, become more sincere, more honest, and there is no action in where he's lying with the external energy, because with external energy there is action at every moment. So in our lives we have to have faith, honesty, sincerity, action. And as we read and continue to develop this love and greed to serve the Lord, which is our constitutional position, then these coverings begin to become removed. And that is called realization. And the realization comes from the heart of your guru. And ultimately from Srila Prabhupada, from our guru Vag. So when you're ready, these coverings will be removed. I was once on Parikaram with some young devotees in India. And I said, we're going to visit this particular place. And one young man, he said, oh, I've been there, I've done that, I've already done it, I don't need to go again. And I turned round to him and I said, oh, has that pastime manifested in your heart? Is it rolling in your heart? And he went, no. I said, well, that's why we need to go. And this is why we need to continually hear Krishna book, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. I mean, I've been reading maybe 15 times in my life, Bhagavad Gita. I can't now get past the second chapter practically, because when I read about Bhishma, I'm just crying all day. I have to pull away. Oh my goodness, I can't get anything done. What happens is that everything is ever fresh and knowledge is being released to us with realization from Guru. So this is not just an ordinary list, going to a library, reading books and just obtaining knowledge. It is about obtaining realization from that knowledge and having the coverings removed, having realization come into the heart from Guru, because he's recognizing everything you're doing. And then there is total joy and love in the heart at every moment. And we have so much to look forward to. You expressed everything beautifully.
Oh, thank you
so much. I am really impressed. Thank you to my little girl.
She's sitting there. That's your mercy.
She was a little girl. Yeah.
Thank you so much for that comment.
Bless you.
Okay, anyone? Okay. Anyone else has anything? Okay. Yes, Prabhu. Sorry.
I have a question which may sound a little bit strange.
Yeah.
In the material world, our knowledge and experience of snakes... Snakes are not pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Snakes are always portrayed as demonic, as harmful, etc.
Mm-hmm.
I've often wondered, why does Anantashesh assume this form of a multi-hooded snake? Any comment on that?
Yeah, it's explained that to compare the material world with the spiritual world is very dangerous. The material world is temporary, and it's a direct replica of the spiritual world. And those snakes are there. The story, you know, how the snakes came about when Lord Shiva drank the poison. It's called Nilakanda, and then some of the poison dropped. And then the scorpions came about, snakes, you know, like that came about. But the associates of Krishna, his servants, they take particular forms. Garuda, he's carrying the Supreme Lord Vishnu on his back, but he's a carnivore, right? He eats snakes. So there's no comparison. It is very dangerous to compare the spiritual world with the material world. Yeah, any other answers? You got any answers to that? He mentioned that why Ananta is in the form of a snake. He's Balaram as well, you know that he takes so many different forms. Why is because the snake in the material world is considered like very dangerous and like nasty, you know, it bites for no reason. So why is he the bedstead of Krishna, basically? Why in the form of a snake, which is not liked in the material world? I said that it's dangerous to compare the material world with the spiritual world. It's transcendental. That's Krishna's internal pastimes or associates that are his servants. Whereas in the material world, everything like grows, remains for some time, dwindles and die. Everything is temporary. You got an answer? Or?
When Krishna comes to perform his pastimes with the cushion walk, etc., he comes as Agasura. Agasura is a demon.
Yeah.
But he comes. So every one of those pastimes also represents an anatta in us.
Mm-hmm.
And that anatta, by reading the Krishna book, it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Putana. All the anattas that we hold, anger, lust, everything. So every one of those pastimes is meant to remove and help to remove an anatta. So everything that Krishna appears as in all the incarnations and in every way, there is an underlying, very deep, internal spiritual meaning for our benefit. And, you know, snakes are very slithery, very tricky.
Yeah.
You know, and you could say, you know, Krishna, he is in all his pastimes. And to know him as a person, he's very tricky. He's, you know, he can cheat you. He can cheat you, he can do all kinds of things, but it's for our benefit, and usually for our anattas. So I'm not quite understanding the question, because I've got very bad hearing with no hearing aid. But all I know is that everything that happens, every incarnation, every appearance of Krishna, is for us to enable us to overcome all deep anattas. And deep understanding, and also to get to know Krishna. Krishna has to, like Bhaktivinoda, it wasn't for any just unknown reason that he said this is the world of the cheated, the cheated. He was a magistrate, so he used it quite often. This is the world of the cheaters, of the cheated. And Krishna, he can cheat people.
Yeah.
But how does he do it? In his pastimes, with his parents, stealing. He's a thief. He stole the butter, but he also stole Radharani's heart, Srimati Radhika's heart. She stole his heart first, and is Hari. And he goes to look for his heart and finds it with her. And the whole Hare Krishna mantra becomes Hare. It's where Krishna finds his heart. Everything is on a deep level of understanding from about us, our journey, and Krishna is perfect. My daughter's doing a medical degree at the moment, and they had to open a body. Somebody left their body and they donated it to science. And the unbelievable science of the body that the medical world can't even fathom out everything. Hare Krishna Das just wrote a book all about the science of the chaos of this material world destroying Darwin's theory completely. So everything in this world is so, coming from Krishna, is so amazing. I mean, we're like a little frog in a well. To actually see the whole big picture. But yeah, it's very good to question these things, to get a deeper answer on all these things. I haven't given it today, but you know, maybe when Shivaram comes, he can go a bit deeper.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and plus the snakes, they haven't got thousands and thousands of hoods. Anantashesh, he's got thousands of hoods, hearing and chanting Vishnu, Krishna's names, unlimitedly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And eyes to watch everything.
Exactly.
Grantaraj
Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Go Premanandi Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.